Welcome to the For Money Audio Commentary. This is David Fuller on Thursday, the 13th of November, recording at 8:07 p.m. Greenwich Mean Time. Now, first the highlights here today. Asian stock markets taking their cue from Wall Street's very weak performance yesterday, generally sold off. China was an exception, the mainland China indices. In Europe, we had modest moves today for a change, with most stock market indices ending with small gains. Wall Street's been all over the place, down 3.7%, then up three and a bit percent, currently showing a modest gains of between 1 to 1.5% here right now, but things are changing fairly rapidly, and there's just over 50 minutes to go in today's trading. Let me come back to that point. I hit the highlights first. Long dated U.S. government bond prices down. The dollars had some interesting swings in here today. First, it was up with the dollar index getting up to 88.14. I think that was probably a new high. But then currently trading at 86.86. So that's currently down 600 points. Gold's been all over the place, down to $700, then up to 734.5, currently 723. That's up 11. Other precious metals have performed in a similar manner, although silver is still down and platinum's down just a fraction. Some of the industrial metals are stronger in here today. As a matter of fact, I think they're all stronger today. And good gain on, they are. So that's interesting, a very bombed out sector. And oil prices, well, crude's bounced around, down as low as 54.67. I think that's a new reaction low. Somebody's forecasting $30. That's a contrary indicator. And it's currently up at 58.5. That's up just over $2. Okay, so what's going on here overall? Well, plenty of nervousness. That's nothing new in that. Stock markets are on the defensive, particularly Wall Street among the major markets, because I think the U.S. indices actually touched certainly new intraday lows here today, before getting that bounce. If Wall Street was able to close with a gain here today, and as I say, it was up 3% a few minutes ago, but it's pegged that back fairly smartly in the last few minutes. But if it was able to close up, it would show that it was performing against the background of bad news, which initially drove it lower in the form of unemployment figures and some earnings forecasts. As you know, a weak market goes down on good news and bad news, and a strong market is able to go up on bad news because it's all been discounted. Now, Wall Street's influence is certainly important because of the ongoing leash effect. My candidate for an early recovery or a leadership during the next recovery is China. The charts will show us, of course, but I'm basing that view partly on the charts and partly by the measures that China has taken. There's progressive hikes in its interest rates, first to rein in the bubble, and now they're in a position to continue with the lowering of interest rates that we've seen recently, since their inflation is certainly under control, and they've been announcing these big stimulus packages. But I think overall, so many countries are now focusing very much on fighting recession and attempting to revive growth instead of their previous battle against inflation. That's a favorable background for stock markets. We haven't seen that reflected yet because investors have been traumatized by the declines that have taken place and remain fearful in terms of further skeletons tumbling out of the closets during this economic slowdown and credit and solvency crisis. That's certainly understandable. But given all the climactic activity, given some of the very attractive valuations that we have, not least in emerging markets and also Europe and US valuations much improved, this is an interesting time. People can be forgiven, all of us can be forgiven for not wanting to look at the financial news, not wanting to read anything about what's going on, not wanting to look at the charts. It's been depressing, certainly. But this out of the ashes of this sell-off emerges the next phoenix or few, and we do want to spot those. And I'll be with you every step of the way, as will Owen, of course, as we endeavor to identify that next round of leaders. It's time to stay calm, I think, focused, and emotionally and analytically involved. Emotionally, by emotionally, I mean that we we don't, well, after a little rest, if it's too depressing, then you do want to switch off for a while. But then I think it's good to get interested once again. Keep looking through those charts. What we need to see, of course, are signs of base formation development. That takes time. And we also know that in all probability there won't be any big moves on the upside without the Wall Street leash effect at least becoming neutral. And that has hardly been the case this week, with Wall Street retesting its lows for this bear market move to date. But have a look at the China indices, which I posted in here today. And basically, my script is still one of potential for this year-end technical rally. We've certainly seen steadying, but this sort of ranging recovery in a reversion to the mean, and the mean, of course, represented by those 200-day moving averages, best seen on the weekly charts. I don't like the value in terms of long-dated government bonds. I've said that many times before, but it's kind of a no-brainer that if stock markets are hitting new lows, that more money will flow into the fixed government fixed interest sector and come out again very, very rapidly, I suspect, once animal spirits return to the stock market. But at the moment, most investors are still hunkered down in the foxhole, and understandably so. I am not feeling adventurous in this environment, but I am watching, as I've said before, with interest, and sitting on my cash. But my cash yields are coming down. I mentioned last month that I was pleasantly surprised to have received another interest rate payment of over 8% on my New Zealand dollar longs, but I certainly did not expect that to last, and it hasn't, and that's fallen. I've got the latest rollover figures here, and I see they're only offering me 5.5% for my rollover next week. So that's down 350 basis points, more than 350 basis points from what I last received. Nevertheless, that's not a bad return, and 5.5%, and I'm compounded, and I'm still content to watch during this sort of epical event that has been unfolding. Crude oil. I mentioned that I felt that was a contrary indicator, that forecast that I saw earlier in the day on Bloomberg calling for $30. And I'm not actually sure that would be a good thing. It would be a tonic for the global economy in one respect. Obviously, it would lower costs among energy importers. But my fear is that it would lead us back into the same old complacency of saying, well, crisis over, it's going to be just like it was in the 70s after the oil spike caused a recession, but then prices fell back and actually went to real-time new lows a few years later, and the low levels persisted for some considerable time. That would mean that development of alternative energy sources would slow. But I don't expect crude oil to go to 30. I'm even surprised to see that it's come as low as it actually has. My target range on seeing that downward dynamic right off oil's highs, first day of that downward dynamic when it was up at 147, was that we should get back to the $100 to $80 region with a possible temporary overshoot to the downside. Well, having seen this down at $54.5 nearly earlier today, that's one heck of an overshoot. Needless to say, if oil prices were to stay in the $60-$70 range or $50 to $70 range, that would be constructive for the global economy and also global stock markets. Among energy importers, and that of course includes most countries. So it's not all bad news out there, as you can clearly see. And there's certainly no inflation problem. And the fact that central banks and their governments that urge them on have crossed that psychological Rubicon in terms of no longer fighting inflation, but fighting recession is also is good news for the stock markets. But so I put it this way: the pieces are slowly falling into place for the next significant recovery, but it takes time. We need to be patient, watch for the leadership, so that we don't miss out on too many opportunities, and we want to see some base formation development. Okay, what else to mention here? Gold. Obviously, gold has been subjected to some of the forced liquidation that we have seen during the deleveraging process, and it remains volatile. My own view is that when you get those dips towards the $700 level and maybe lower, that gold can be accumulated on those sell-offs, but it probably has to be traded out on the rallies. So I expect a fair amount of choppy ranging. When the dollar breaks, and it's a question, in my opinion, of not if but when. When the dollar does break, and the euro's had quite a swing here, euro got down to 123.89, currently trading at 127. So that's much considerably stronger in here today. When we do see a peak in the dollar, and actually we may be getting a small upside key on the euro and some of the other currencies tomorrow, I think I'll do a good chart review. But a weaker trend for the dollar and also a weaker trend for the yen, I think would be a positive development for many of these global stock markets. It would certainly be a positive development for precious metals and other depressed commodities. So, interesting. Now, tomorrow I will be completing early because I'm on my own. Owen is at TCS, and I always go over to greet delegates following the seminar when there's a small reception. So early completion tomorrow, and that means that I will probably be out of here by about 5 o'clock at the latest. And that's Greenwich Mean Time, of course. Meanwhile, all the very best to all of you.